In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Hi, Vikram.
Hey, man.
What's happening?
Not much.
Ready to feud today?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I like it. Very snappy. You do seem ready to feud today.
When have I not?
There are times when I just crush you, wipe the floor with you. But today I feel like you'll put up a fair fight.
But on those days, do I look not ready to feud?
Yeah, I can tell. The listeners can't take a look at you, but I can look. You look worn down.
You're just full of shit, dude.
You're worn down by my constant crushing you in Film Feud.
I don't know where this is going, so...
I'm playing mind games with you,
bro. Can we move on?
Yeah, we can. Why don't you tell the good folk, our pleasant listeners, what we're doing here?
Gladly. So we take a movie from the IMDb top 250, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against.
And the movie we're feuding this week, it's The Princess Bride.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time, man. I have an elder sister, so I have seen this movie when I was growing up.
What's the correlation between elder sister and Princess Bride? It's not gender specific.
It's not? I thought like Anne Hathaway, Julie Andrews, like
That's not The Princess Bride. That's blasphemy. That's The Princess Diaries, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, what are you talking about?
The Princess Bride, the Rob Reiner movie. Not, I don't even know who directed The Princess Diaries. Not the Anne Hathaway, like, Disney movie.
I haven't even heard of Princess Bride.
What kind of a movie fan are you? Princess Bride, I guess it's a little bit more American than international. It's a pretty popular movie. I watched it just once, that I know for sure.
Did you like it?
I was on the fence about it, okay. And this viewing will give me a chance to reconsider.
Of course.
Yeah.
I
had an ambient experience.
Ambivalent, you mean?
Ambivalent experience.
Okay. I see that. I mean, I haven't seen this movie, so I really don't know what to feel about it.
Good. You should be excited then. Something new.
Yeah, of course. This podcast allows me to watch new movies, supposed cult classics. So let's see what it has in store for us.
Let's get to it. Why don't I toss the coin? How it works, if I get heads, I'm for the movie, and tails means I'm against. Let's go. And it's heads. What do you know?
And you're not on the fence anymore, I feel like?
No.
I'm sensing that fence jump from you to the other side.
I'm perched on the fence, and I'm viewing the other side.
Uh-huh.
And I'm ready to take a dive, and I'm going to watch the movie and give you my fair and balanced Fox News-style opinion.
Of course. So the grass looks green on that side, so you just want to go there?
It's on the IMDb Top 250.
Uh-huh.
It's a cult classic.
Uh-huh.
And may I just say, it has Robin Wright, national treasure. I'm not from the nation she's a treasure in, but she's a national treasure.
I honestly don't know anything Robin Wright's done except for...
House of Cards?
Yeah.
You know Forrest Gump? Run, Forrest, Run.
Of course, Run, Forrest, Run.
This was from the Run, Forrest, Run phase. That can't be bad, right?
I don't think she was that great in Forrest Gump, honestly.
Oh, I guess I know which side of the fence you're on. Well done. Before even watching the movie, jeez.
I mean, you're praising Robin Wright as if she's Julie Andrews or fucking Meryl Streep. So obviously I'm going to say something about that.
Yeah, it's Carrie Underwood, bro. Come on. She improves everything.
All right, man. I'm excited to just go watch this movie for the first time in my life, which is always a pleasure. So
Carrie Underwood, more like Carrie Gives Me Wood.
Why? Why are we doing this? Oh, God.
I like Robin Wright. Jeez.
You like her way more than you probably do, is all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, you know what? Fair and balanced, Fox News, hashtag everything. Let's just get to it. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's go watch the movie. Dude, did I just watch like a low-budget direct-to-video movie? Did this movie go direct-to-video? It's just a question.
No.
It did not?
This movie made money in theaters.
Okay.
Pleased kids and adults alike.
Yeah, whatever. Have you seen Get Shorty, the TV show?
No.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Get Shorty?
No.
So Get Shorty, the TV show, has Ray Romano as a character. And his character is a Hollywood producer, quote-unquote Hollywood, where he directs these $2 million, $5 million budget direct-to-TV movies. And this is exactly what his movies look like. If this movie was part of Get Shorty the Show, I would totally believe that Ray Romano directed this movie. This is horrible, horrible cinema, dude.
No, it's not.
It's horrible.
This is, oh my God, did you not have a childhood? Where's the fun and joy? Like, you just kick back, watch some fairy tale and swashbuckling. What's going on? Did you not have a childhood? Do you not know what a joyous
movie is?
You were
part of my childhood, firstly, so you know I had a childhood.
Aww.
This movie is horrible, Vidur.
No, I'm talking about like the childhood before I even knew you. Like fourth grade.
Yeah, I was watching
grade.
Princess Diaries then.
Yeah, because of your elder sister. You were not exposed to things that you would have actually loved, like The Princess Bride. What's wrong with you, man? What were you, like turning tricks and dealing drugs by the time you were 11? Where's the true like spirit of cinema? Why is that missing from you? It's meant to be fun. If somebody reads you, like The Little Mermaid now, are you just going to say this is horrible literature? No, it's great. It's fun. It's a fantasy.
Okay, I don't see the correlation with Little Mermaid in this movie.
The joy is missing from your childhood.
That doesn't explain anything about how good or bad this movie is.
And by the way, everything that I'm talking about, that applies to the movie just broadly. Action, romance, comedy, kids, adults, everyone alike. But it's also satirizing the genre itself. Did you at least get that, you pleb? Or did you just watch it and read the fairy tale and be like, oh my God, this is so bad?
It's not actually satirizing the genre. I understand that this movie is, well, it's a comedy at its core. A satire of, you know, this adventure fantasy sort of crossover genre. But you know what really pissed me off was that the humor had this odd, almost compulsive Monty Python flavor to it.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that if you do it well, right? If this is Rob Reiner's homage to Monty Python, then I understand if he does it well. But it didn't mix well with the movie at all. If they were executed well enough, if these sequences were executed well enough, it would have been a better experience. It was so bad, mostly because it was the late 80s. And it's like he didn't add anything to Monty Python at all. It was as if I was trying to watch a Monty Python recreation without the great Monty Python crew executing
it. That's fine. Firstly, that alone is good enough. I don't concede that this is what it is, but it's good enough. And you know what it reminded me of? Like, have you watched all the Edward Wright movies, the Cornetto trilogy?
Yes.
So Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and not so much World's End, while actually being those genre movies themselves, right? Shaun of the Dead functions well as a zombie movie, and Hot Fuzz functions pretty well as an action movie. That's what this is.
It's those were original movies. The humor in this wasn't original at all. There was nothing original about this movie.
Of course there is. At one point, Cary Elwes, the Dread Pirate Roberts, falls down this hillock. And then he says the line he used to say to Robin Wright as a farm boy, as you wish.
Right.
And then she goes, oh my God, oh, it's Wesley. And then she doesn't jump. She throws herself down the hillock as well.
Right.
And then somersaults down. And then she's making those noises that, remember that wine stomping lady, the early viral video where she just falls down. And she's like, That just comes out of nowhere. That's hilarious.
The humor in this movie left me confused at points where I had to think to myself whether did these guys mean for this scene to be funny or this gag to be funny, or were they trying to go for a serious tone, or was it satire?
Assume they meant it to be funny.
I shouldn't be assuming. There shouldn't be any point in
Maybe
the movie.
Maybe that's the game, you know? Is it funny? Is it serious? Is it funny? Is it serious?
That's a terrible movie.
Did
if it's a
his
game.
Father?
If they play a game with the audience, hey, listen, can you guess if this is funny or not? You can't? Haha, we win. That's not a good movie, dude. That's a horrible, horrible movie.
I think you didn't get it, man. I think you just didn't get it. I feel bad for you because obviously you wasted your time.
Uh-huh.
You're going to lose this feud.
Whatever.
I think I need to feud you left-handed because this feud's getting too easy otherwise.
Right.
You didn't get it. It whizzed past your head. Maybe you saw it at the wrong
time.
Okay,
what is it? What did I not get?
You hadn't even heard of the movie.
Yeah, for a reason. Now I completely understand why I hadn't heard of this movie, because it's a shite movie, dude.
It's a fun. It's like watching a play almost. It's fun. It has all these like quirky side characters. Mandy Patinkin, Inigo Montoya.
God,
what a classic.
Classic.
In fact, the thing
I feel like you're using that word very, very, very loose-handedly.
Inigo Montoya is a classic. It might be because of his catchphrase and his accent. You killed my father, prepare to die. Like, that's the stuff of legends now. That's a classic.
What classic? Why haven't I heard of anything from this
You've
movie
You've never
before?
Heard of My Name is Inigo Montoya?
No.
What a pleb. Who am I feuding here, man? I have to feud. Like,
is that going
to
be like the basis of your argument throughout now? You know what my problem was, okay? I was halfway done with this movie and I was wondering, you know, it's one of those movies where, you know, it starts to pick up and the good part is nearing the end, especially the third act where it all comes together and stuff like that. And you know, it has to because, you know, IMDb top 250 and all that. And it actually got more boring. It got more, it was insipid, man. Like, what's the matter with IMDb?
Insipid and all, for a kid's movie.
What's the matter with IMDb? Like, what's the matter with Rotten Tomatoes? I know those guys gave them a high score.
97%.
What's wrong with these guys, man? I think I'm going to start my own movie rating database.
Dude, you're like the guy who watches Cartoon Network, who watches the Powerpuff Girls, and then complains about the character arcs. That's what you're doing right now.
Is that what they're shooting for?
You watch Mojo Jojo and you have a good time. You watch a grandfather read a tale to his grandson. They've already framed what you should be perceiving the movie as, right?
I did. Obviously, the first scene sets it up like that. But am I supposed to be watching the f***ing Powerpuff Girls?
Name a better fantasy, fairy tale, action, swashbuckling adventure. Because I can actually name a few. I've seen a bunch of them. For instance, Neil Gaiman's Stardust, starring Claire Danes and the guy who plays Daredevil, Charlie Cox. That movie was also lauded because it's the same genre. That genre appeals to some people. But this one was so much better. That's why this one's on the IMDb top 250.
Okay, great. You know, just because you brought that up, why don't we get to what I think did it better? Or who all did it better, rather. I initially had a list which is only adventure, fantasy, comedy. But then I realized that, you know, these guys are shooting more for comedy than anything else. So I sort of... I have this mixed bag of...
Satire, yeah. First say it.
Satire? Happy?
Yes. It's okay. Not necessarily comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a satire, so, which means they inject comedy.
Okay. I concede. My list also has only satire. So firstly, everything Monty Python touched was better than this movie. You have to agree with that.
It's a whole different landscape. You mean like a Life of Brian?
Yeah. All Monty Python movies were... No, I'm not talking about Flying Circus, but all the movies had this historical fantasy element to them.
Because of the structure of the grandfather reading to the kid, you can obviously suspend disbelief wherever you want, but they play it straight, which is key to a good satire. Life of Brian and I haven't seen The Holy Grail in a long time.
The Holy Grail has a lot, like, I see a lot of Holy Grail inspiration in the gags in this movie than anything
okay,
like
I haven't
Monty
seen
Python
in a while.
Did.
Do they play it straight?
They played Monty Python. They played exactly like how these guys were trying to shoot it for.
Do they have a character who says inconceivable?
I'm moving on. Okay. I want to talk about inconceivable.
Talk about your childhood, but anyway.
Just because fucking Mandy Patinkin playing that Spaniard swordsman, it kept tilting me throughout.
Inigo Montoya, please.
Mask of Zorro did it better.
The Mask of Zorro starring Antonio Banderas.
Did it way better.
That movie.
The only reason it's on this list is because of Mandy Patinkin playing that Spaniard. But the list...
No, he
that,
doesn't
that,
have a list.
The Spaniard...
Yeah, that's called character acting, bro.
Oh, they great stuff, committed. Man. Mandy, what a legend. Dude.
Wallace Shawn, the character who plays Inconceivable, he has the lisp.
He has the lisp. Just by the way, when that guy died in the movie...
Inconceivable.
Best scene in the movie. It made me so happy that he finally died.
Wasn't that a great scene?
No, I was happy.
I know that you know. That. By the way, that's the stuff of legends too. Like when I live in the US, there are people who have actually had conversations with me where they talk about I know that you know. But I'll get to that. You have any other stupid did it better on your list?
I have lots. Just by the way, if you use classic and stuff of legends again in this movie,
legend.
I'm going to throw this water bottle on your face.
Classic.
It's just pissing me off that because you have nothing to go on, you're just going to use these crutches of it's a classic.
The idea,
oh my God, legendary picture.
The idea of you throwing...
Never heard this fucking movie's name before this feud. For fuck's sake.
The idea of you throwing a water bottle in my face...
See, just say it.
Is inconceivable.
God, dude. That guy really pissed me off. I actually liked Wallace Shawn as a bit part character actor here and there, man. But now I can't stand his face. I cannot. Okay, getting back to did it better. Every Harry Potter movie did it better.
That's not even the same like realm or genre.
Every Harry Potter movie, including Harry Potter number 2, which is by far the top bottom 5 worst movies I've ever seen in my life, did it better.
What is the correlation between
just
Harry Potter
fantasy,
and fantasy,
adventure,
Bride?
Comedy? What is this?
It's so lost here.
This movie this movie doesn't have a bucket of genre because it's genreless. It's just shit. It's just shit mashed together on a canvas.
There, Rob Reiner was adapting a book that was played straight, but then doing it in a way that satirized it. And he put the book as part of the structure of the movie.
Ooh.
So you can't compare it to Harry Potter, where you're supposed to commit yourself to this world and actually care about he who must not be named and this boy whose parents have died and all that stuff. No, this is just fun. This is just an adventure. I guess you haven't seen other movies like this, man. I'm not the biggest fan of them, but Stardust has Robert De Niro playing a cross-dressing airship pirate.
I have seen Stardust, just by the way. It sucks.
Stardust is
the fact that you're comparing this movie to Stardust just goes to show that this movie sucks as well as
no. I'm trying to tell you that Stardust is the genre that this movie is actually satirizing. So Stardust plays it completely straight, which is why it sucks. And this movie plays with the format. Dude, Rob Reiner had just made Spinal Tap, right? I think he made Stand By Me or something before this. He was kind of on top of doing satire and kids movies with Spinal Tap and Stand By Me respectively. And he combined the two. And look at what came out. Nothing's come out that is even close to matching this tone or genre ever since.
But
because
this
that
is not
would be
good.
Inconceivable.
It's not good. That's why no one's even attempted or bothered to. He might as well just play, just recreated that novel straight and created that movie. Maybe
that
would have
been Stardust.
Maybe it would have been better than this movie. Who knows? All right. And just as a last one, because I have to, The Princess Diaries did better.
Oh my God.
So much better. That movie's so much fun.
Don't even.
Just have you seen it? Just go watch it. It's awesome.
No, I haven't. I'm happy to say that I haven't.
It's a better 1.5 hour spent than this.
Dude, but
I don't
the
even
best
know what
part
this is.
Versus like A Princess Diaries or even Stardust, is they don't bother with the whole falling in love BS, right? They literally rush through it in like a minute over the grandfather narrating. The grandfather, by the way, is Peter Falk, the guy who played Columbo for like 40 years. And it's done, right? So to me, the most boring part of these movies, it gets done really quickly. Mm-hmm. And the one that we have to suspend most disbelief in probably doesn't even appeal to like male or kids, like, you know, boys. It's usually meant for girls, the romance angle. They just skip all that. They just jump to the adventure and the swashbuckling. Perfect.
I mean, it's not as if it was better than whatever they skipped over, man. It's Mandy Patinkin obviously tilted me throughout this movie. Inconceivable. That entire arc when Andre the Giant is the only...
Andre the Giant is in this
I didn't even
movie.
Know he could talk, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw him as human after watching this movie.
So,
I'd forgotten.
But then that entire arc of these three guys kidnapping, how they kidnap, who they kidnap, why they kidnap her, nothing's explained. I don't care,
it's
man.
It's very high-end filmmaking, dude. You open in media's res in the middle
right,
of
right.
the story.
Uh-huh.
Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
The guy's a legend now.
The Rob Reiner's a legend. Let's talk about Rob Reiner for a second. Who the is Rob Reiner?
He is the son of Carl Reiner.
That's the only good thing about
him. He starts off as a legend, firstly. He's spawned by a legend. Carl Reiner's a legend, yes or no?
Spawned by a legend does not mean you are a legend.
Carl Reiner's a legend.
I
yes
agree
or no.
completely. I love Carl Reiner. Fucking multi Emmy winning writer, comedy writer. Great guy, great personality. Much, much respected in the industry. Doesn't mean his son is a legend.
His
automatic.
Son starts out as a sitcom actor, crushes it.
Crushes
then,
it.
Then he makes, come on, dude. Then he makes This is Spinal Tap. Do you at least concede This is Spinal Tap is good?
I have thoughts, but I want you to finish.
Okay. Then he makes other kids' movies that I haven't seen, but are American classics, and I do mean classics.
Mm-hmm.
Then he makes The Princess Bride, which is inconceivably good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then he makes A Few Good Men.
Mm-hmm.
What? You have complaints about A Few Good Men as well?
I have thoughts. You can finish.
No, I'm finished.
Yeah, because you have nothing.
I use my right hand.
Your thoughts
finished.
Rely on my thoughts. Can I talk about Rob Reiner? Firstly, the guy...
First you have to concede Andre the Giant.
Concede what? That the man can talk? Yeah, I concede he can talk.
That his presence elevated the movie.
No, it didn't.
Dude, the guy gave up a $5 million match. Or not gave up.
No,
he
didn't.
Like an
it got cancelled.
Okay, so it got cancelled.
He and didn't then, do shit. Okay,
he didn't. Apparently, he didn't even carry people because he'd broken his back.
Yeah. Yeah, they had those people on like these lines. And then whenever they had to do a zoomed out shot, it was a body double.
But you cast Andre the Giant as a giant.
Why are you calling him Andre?
Andre. His name's Andre.
It's Andre.
Oh, what are you, American? You can't roll your R's and say the.
I think the D is the point of contention here, not the R's. Andre and Andre.
He's French.
Okay.
His name's Andre.
Oh.
No?
I don't know, man. Okay. I've never heard anyone call him Andre the Giant. So romantic.
If you're going full American, then his name should be Ander the Giant.
No. Can we get back to Rob Reiner? Okay.
Dude, did you have his trump card? You remember that was like the ultimate winner, 7 to 500 pounds. I look back on him so fondly because of his trump card.
Mm-hmm.
But now I look back on him fondly because of this movie.
Yeah.
It touched me.
Okay.
Inconceivably.
Okay.
They even address the inconceivable at some point. Inigo Montoya tells him, I don't think that word means what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Inigo Montoya has the best lines in this movie.
Okay.
Are you just waiting for me to finish?
I know, because you're just derailing me purposely because you know you're full of shit.
No, I'm not. At one point, Cary Elwes wakes up, Dread Pirate Roberts, and Inigo Montoya says, let me explain. Then he pauses. He's like, no, it'll take too long. Let me sum it up. this movie is the only way you can have that kind of comedy. Even if you call it Monty Python, sure, to figure out a way to incorporate Monty Python gags into a movie that holds up as the genre it's satirizing, boom. How's that for Lemmy Summer?
They use Monty Python as a way to create their gags. Monty Python created this style of humor, and they just took that style of humor, didn't add anything to it, just shoehorned their own jokes into it, and then recreated them. There's nothing new, there's nothing funny actually in this movie.
They added Billy Crystal to it. Did you know Miracle Max was Billy Crystal?
I did know, and the height of fucking indulgence, just by the way, okay? Billy Crystal and Carol Kane, who played his wife.
I don't know who that is.
She's just a comedian as well. They spent time before they traveled to the set of this movie to flesh out the backstory between Miracle Max and his wife and develop a rapport for their characters.
Ah,
they were on screen for fucking 4 minutes. There was no rapport that I saw.
I saw all kinds of rapport. It's like open in the middle. You come in, fully
height
fleshed
of
out.
Indulgence, too. Just a hideless, like, this is just, are you Billy Crystal here? He's take some money.
Okay, you know what? I will concede Billy Crystal in this movie because in general, I can't stand Billy Crystal. I find him insufferable. He has that attitude of that, oh, everything I said is super hilarious. Oh, and also I'm Jewish. Like, that's Billy Crystal to me. So I concede. Screw Billy Crystal.
I know. And screw Harry Met Sally as well.
Oh, screw it.
But, screw Rob Reiner as well.
Reiner.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that was Billy Crystal until afterwards. Until I saw a Siskel and Ebert review where they were like so delighted. Oh my God. I didn't even know that was Billy Crystal. He's so funny. And I was like, well, I don't agree with you guys on the Billy Crystal, but two thumbs up, Siskel and Ebert. You're going against a dead Roger Ebert right now.
As I have before and as you have before as well. So, doesn't matter. Also, like, Rob Reiner, man, the only decent thing he's done is attempting a metal mockumentary. And that's only because I'm a big fan of heavy metal. And directing Jack Nicholson when he said, you can't handle the truth. That's all he's done. And he's just so overhyped. The incomparable.
That's enough, by the way.
Incomparable Rob Reiner. My ass, he's incomparable. He's like the worst film.
Who said incomparable?
You said it earlier this year.
I said inconceivable.
The inconceivable Rob Reiner. I think you meant incomparable when you said that. Because inconceivable Rob Reiner doesn't really make sense here.
Inconceivable doesn't make sense. It's just a word that Wallace Shawn amazingly uses. Inconceivable.
What's good about Rob Reiner, man? I mean, it's this movie, just
his
like his
face,
just like his entire career. It's so confused. Like, it makes no sense. Like, he did that. So he got FaceTime on that sitcom. Milk it. Lucks out with Harry Met Sally. Milks it. And oh, it's 2019.
Yeah, and he was on Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Earth-shattering character. Earth-shattering. The guy just got shat on by all the people in the movie. Like, what was his character in the movie?
He's done. He's made his nut in life. He doesn't need to do anything to please you. He just does what he pleases.
Yeah, and then we just these two fools sitting in India talking about Rob Reiner, man. It just makes no sense.
Rob Reiner is a legend.
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Don't even pretend you don't love A Few Good Men. And when Harry Met Sally, I don't know if you watched it recently. I don't know if it's on the IMDb top 250. But actually, if I remember correctly, When Harry Met Sally is also a perfect subversion, not exactly satirization, of the rom-com genre. In fact, the two characters keep sort of subverting expectations and discussing what the tropes would be in the genre itself until they end up together, which is part of the genre. So that was his thing. He almost invented mockumentary with Spinal Tap. Then he made some kids' movies. Then he satirized these movies. He made When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men. How can you hate on this guy?
I've seen When Harry Met Sally. In fact, over the past 5 years, I saw it when I was a kid as well. I've never liked that movie. Just because you have a template of something that's off-center or not the norm, but you execute on it in a really piss-poor manner, doesn't mean it's a good movie. And that's the case with all of his movies. I love heavy metal. I love the idea of what he was trying to do with This Is Spinal Tap. But the movie in itself is boring. I tried to rewatch it. In fact, just because I was watching this movie, I tried to rewatch This Is Spinal Tap too, because I had slightly fond memories of it when I was in my metal love heyday. And I couldn't watch it as a movie at all. It's horrible. There's nothing good about Rob Reiner as an actor, as a director, whatever. You know who I think the best actor in this movie is?
Wallace Shawn.
Nope.
Carrie Underwood.
Nope.
Carrie Gives Me Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Wright.
Huh?
Andre the Giant.
Yep.
Wait, it's gonna be something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
the it's gonna be an animal.
Ooh.
Am I close?
Nope.
Oh. Okay, last guess. The guy who's the tracker for the prince.
The guy who's the tracker for the prince. You mean the count? With the six
count.
Fingers.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, then.
Fred Savage.
Who does he play?
The kid.
Oh, Fred Savage the kid, yeah.
Wonder Years?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I kept thinking Doogie Howser in my head.
No, that's Neil Patrick Harris.
That's the same kids. In my mind, they're the same time, same kids, big shows.
Sure.
Yeah, so Doogie Howser, best actor in this movie, dude.
That's not bad. Yeah, I'll take
great
it.
Great stuff.
Does a great
Very
job.
Very moving stuff.
Moving indeed. Yeah. And he substitutes as the audience. You know, because in the beginning, he's not interested. Mm-hmm. And that's like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this? Oh my God, are they going to kiss? Mm-hmm. Oh, romance? Swashbuckling? And by the end of it, he's gripped.
He's gripped.
He needs to know.
Yeah.
He needs to finish.
That's why it was good acting, because I wasn't feeling that. And then he was, and he actually made it look realistic.
He absorbs that grandfatherly tale.
Mm-hmm.
And is able to make the most of it because his childhood is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike yours.
Right.
Which was just marred with horrific tragedies that left you incapable of appreciating good, fun adventure movies.
You know, there are some dialogues in this movie that perfectly summarize this movie for me. Okay. Do you remember that exchange when Wesley comes back from the dead and he goes to save Princess Butternuts and...
Buttercup?
Whatever it is, man. And then...
Powerpuff Girls.
Okay.
Worlds colliding.
Great. Good stuff, man. And then he's lying on her bed. Like, he goes to save her after a marriage. And then Prince Pumpernickel Dick comes and tries to save them.
Yeah.
And then he just has this dialogue exchange with Prince Nickel Dick. And it's exactly what I felt about this movie.
I don't remember. What is it? Oh, dude, is it when Buttercup is about to kill herself? And she's about to stab herself in the chest. And he just says, there's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours. Because that line was hilarious.
No. This is when Prince Nickel Pumperdick comes in and tries to save Princess Butternuts.
Okay.
And then she finds...
You know it's Buttercup now. Even if you don't know the
prince's
name.
Isn't Butternuts funnier? Come on.
No, it's not.
Prince
but anyway,
Pumpernickel Dick and Prince Butternuts.
It's not a bread. It's not Pumpernickel Dick. Okay. Anyway.
And then he's just lying on bed. And then he's trying to stall because he's regaining his energy or whatever. He basically says that I'm not going to kill you swiftly. I want you to suffer. To the pain is what he means, right?
Uh-huh.
And to the pain is what this movie caused me, man. It essentially just, it's like...
That whole long-drawn analogy was a pain.
I heard it and I was like, this is what the movie is doing to me. It's like, dear God, what is this thing? And then, you know, that's what to the pain means. It means I leave you in anguish, wallowing in freakish misery forever. I was like, that's what this movie is doing. And then he goes on to say that he finds Prince Pumpernickel Dick, which also means that I find this movie to be a miserable, vomitous mass. That's what this movie is.
Vikram, I know that you're pretending.
No, I'm not.
No.
I thought you had something else to add to that.
I know that you know that I know that I know that you know that I'm pretending. No. That you're pretending. I've confused myself.
I stopped listening.
Inconceivable. And that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Thank you for listening. Now we feuded, and you, the listeners, get to decide who you think won.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Film Feud Pod, or you can also vote for us on our website, munchermedia.com.
Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Castbox, Pocket Casts, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts.
Don't forget to rate and review us while you're there. Until next week.
Bye-bye.